Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series I started 2 weeks ago talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. This is the beginning of our third week, and today I'm going to start talking about grace, a done deal. That's the title of the teaching. You can tell that I didn't go to seminary to be able to learn how to entitle my teachings. But anyway, that's what it's about. That grace is already something that's accomplished. And therefore, the Christian life is just resting in what has already been done instead of trying to get God to do something for us. Again, I mentioned this on my program last week, but this is going to be a brief synopsis of a teaching that I've got entitled, You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It. So that would go into a lot more detail. But this week, I just want to relate this to what I've been talking about, that it is by grace, through faith, that we receive everything. And grace is a done deal. Let's turn over to John chapter 1, and let me just share a couple of scriptures with you from John's Gospel about Jesus. And he starts off by proclaiming the deity of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Then it begins to talk about John the Baptist, a man that sent from God whose name was John. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might see. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's verse 14. And then 15 says, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then in verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Anyway, notice that John here is saying that Jesus was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, "Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And then verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So the reason I read all of these verses is to say that God poured his grace out on the world through Jesus. You know, I hadn't got time to put all of this in its context. This is an overstatement, but basically the Old Testament law was a ministration of wrath and condemnation. And there's many, many scriptures. Romans chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I could just give you many, many scriptures that the law produced wrath. It released punishment and all of these things. Grace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there was grace in the Old Covenant. There was examples of it. But in a sense, God was releasing grace on the human race by credit. You know, the payment hadn't been made yet. Grace came through the Lord Jesus. Everything done in the Old Testament when God dealt with people by grace, it was because he saw the atonement of Jesus coming. But now Jesus brought all of God's grace, and everything that we receive by grace is already a done deal. It came through Jesus, and here we are 2,000 years on the other side of when Jesus came to this earth. And the point I'm trying to get across is that grace and truth came through Jesus. That happened 2,000 years ago. Everything that God accomplished in releasing his power into our life came through Jesus coming to this earth. the Scripture reveals, like in Hebrews chapter 10, there's many places that make this same point, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says that Jesus is now seated at the Father's right hand. He is not in heaven working and doing these things. There are scriptures in Hebrews that says He ever lives to make intercession for us, but it's not Him pleading and offering over and over and over again His blood and His sacrifice. That was done. Matter of fact, in Hebrews it talks about that through one offering He hath perfected forever those who know Him and those who receive His grace. And so He has done His job. He is seated at the Father's right hand. Now the significance of all of this is that if it's by grace, how God moves in our life, and all we do is by faith reach out and appropriate it, then grace is something that has already been released upon us. It's been given unto every one of us. As it says here in verse 16, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." One of the translations says, "grace upon grace." God poured His grace out on us 2,000 years ago before you and I existed. So if it's before we existed, then how could it have anything to do with our own actions or our own performance? By definition, the word grace means undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. It has nothing to do with you. God did this 2,000 years ago independent of us. And so by grace, He has already forgiven the sin of the entire world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is something that's already been done. When a person comes to receive salvation, you really don't have to ask God to forgive you your sins. Let me just say that God is a good God, and He is a gracious God, and He interprets. He sees the desire of our heart. And so I am convinced that there are people who come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive their sins. But that's really not what the Scripture teaches. It doesn't teach you to confess your sins and ask God to forgive your sins. There's only one Scripture in the New Testament, 1 John 1:9, that talks about that, and that is talking to people who are already believers. When it comes to receiving salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's no mention in there about the forgiveness of your sins or asking for the forgiveness of your sins. Here's another verse over in Acts chapter 16, and this is talking about when Paul and Silas were thrown in the Philippian jail. And here's what the Philippian jailer said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Well, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins." See, that's what people today would tell you to do. But here's what Paul told them to do. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." He didn't tell them anything about confessing their sins. What would happen if you had to confess all of your sins in order to be saved? What would happen if you forgot one? Did that mean that it wasn't covered? If the burden of salvation was all dependent upon you confessing your sins and doing all of these things, then I guarantee there's not a one of us that could ever be saved, because there's things that we do that are wrong that we don't even realize that are wrong. And I know many of you are thinking, well, if you don't realize it's wrong, then it's not sin. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, it gives the requirements for making sacrifices when a person has sinned through ignorance and they didn't know it. But it was still sin. And so there are things that we do that are wrong, and you may not even realize that they're wrong. You can't just confess every single sin. You can't cover every single thing. There's things that we do that are wrong that we don't even realize. The Scripture doesn't tell you to confess your sins in order to be saved. But the Scripture teaches that by grace, the Lord put upon Jesus all of our sin, and He paid for the sins of the entire world. Again, 1 John 2:2. It's already done. It's already been accomplished. He's already paid for your sins. Here's another mistake that people make, is that they think He only forgave your sins up until the point that you got born again, and then every time you sin after you're born again, that's a new infraction or a new offense against God, and you got to get that confessed and under the blood. The same problem arises. You don't even realize everything that you're doing that's wrong. And the Scripture teaches that Sin is not only when you directly violate a command of God, but sin is when you're supposed to be doing good and you aren't. It's not only when you do bad, but it's when you should be doing better than you are. That's sin. The Scripture teaches us that the husband is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. There's not a single person watching this program that does that as Christ loved us. You may be doing it better than you've ever done it. You might be doing it better than I have done it, but you still aren't doing it perfectly. You are falling short of what you're supposed to be, and that's sin. The Scripture teaches that a wife is supposed to reverence her husband the way that the church is supposed to reverence Christ. There's not a single woman watching this program who does that perfectly. You might be doing it better. You might have improved, but you still aren't doing it perfectly. We all sin and come short of the glory of God on a constant basis. And when you sin, if you had to have every sin confessed every time you do something wrong, it would be impossible for you to ever be doing anything except just confessing your sin and dealing with all of these problems. And look at it from God's standpoint. If Jesus had to take His blood and reapply His blood on the altar every time you sinned and then you confessed it, and if He was doing that, and there are literally millions of Christians that are sinning millions of times every single day, then there would be no such thing as Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand. He would be constantly have to be reapplying the blood. That is not what's happening, and yet this is what religion tells us all of the time. Because again, they misunderstand the grace of God. God did everything He is ever going to do for the human race or for you individually through Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. He forgave all of your sins, not only the sins up until you got born again, but He forgave all of your sins, even the sins that you haven't committed yet. And I know some of you are just incensed right now. How could God forgive a sin before you commit it? Well, you better pray that He forgives sins before you commit them, because He only died for our sins one time 2,000 years ago before you ever lived, before you ever sinned. God forgave the sins of the entire human race. That's grace. It's already been done. It all came through Jesus. Likewise, you could just take everything in the Christian life. Anything that you want to talk about. If you need healing in your body, the Lord isn't healing you now. He healed you through Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It was already done. It's past tense. Jesus placed your and my sickness and diseases, infirmities, upon Jesus, and He bore them 2,000 years ago. If He already paid for your healing, how can you doubt that you are healed? I know what people are thinking. They're thinking, well, here's the doctor's report, and here's the pain in my body. But that's because we are just completely dominated by our sense knowledge realm. But there's also a spiritual world. There are spiritual beings. Wherever you are right now, God is with you. There are angels around you. There are demons around you. If you can't see them, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. You know, many of you are watching television right now, and you aren't plugged into a cable or anything like that. You're receiving it through a satellite or something. And did you know that that signal is there constantly? And yet your television isn't always broadcasting because you don't always have it turned on and tuned in. But does that mean that the signal's not there? No, the signal is there all of the time, but you only receive it part-time, depending on what station you're tuned into and things like that. Likewise, God has already released His supernatural healing power. It's in the spiritual realm. And if you've been born again, it's already on the inside of you. You've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead, Ephesians 1:19. It's already there. That's grace. It's already done. You don't have to get God to do something. I know I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but I'm making these applications because most people don't get it. And you can tell it by the way that they pray. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people pray stupid prayers. I don't mean that bad, but it's just stupid. It's not based on this teaching about grace and faith. They don't understand grace. And so they ask God to do things that the Bible says He's already done. You know, I've already talked about that. They ask God to forgive them every time they sin and think that if they don't confess it, that it's not forgiven. And there's entire denominations that have doctrines that if you have an unconfessed sin in your life, you could have been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, but if you have an unconfessed sin in your life and die, you would go straight to hell because no sin can enter into heaven. And they think that every time you sin, it's a new infraction against God. It's got to be dealt with. And because of that, they come up with these weird doctrines. That's not what the Bible teaches. All of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and even the ones you haven't committed yet. That's grace. It's already been done. Your sins were paid for through what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Likewise, your healing is already an accomplished deal. It's not a matter. You know, some people say, well, God didn't heal this person. No, God healed every single person. This person didn't know how to receive. That's just like a person whose television set isn't playing the gospel truth. It's not because the satellite isn't sending the signal. It's not because the signal's not there. It's because they don't have their set turned on and tuned in. And that's the reason that they aren't receiving. And so to blame the satellite company or the television company, the broadcast company, to blame them for you not having your set on is irrational. Likewise, there are people who don't get healed, but it's not because God didn't provide the healing. It's because they didn't, first of all, know the truth. Many of them might have even prayed and asked God for healing, but they were waiting on God to do something. That would be like the person sitting in front of their television set, and they're just praying and crying. They're calling the television company, and they're saying, please turn on Andrew's program. It's time. Would you please turn on the set? They aren't going to come out there and turn on your television set and tune it to the right station. They deliver the signal, but you have to turn on your set and you have to tune it to the station that you want. Likewise, people are praying, oh God, heal me. God's already broadcasting healing. It's already there. It's already been done. But you have to turn on yourself and get into faith and take your authority and speak and do these things. That doesn't cause God to heal you. It's just like when you turn on your set, the television set doesn't all the television station doesn't instantly start broadcasting because they saw that you turned on your set. No, they broadcast whether your set's on or not. It's already there. It's in the air. They've already supplied the signal. And whenever you turn on your set, you can start receiving that signal because it's already there. Likewise, God by grace has done everything to heal every person that He is ever going to do. You don't need God to come and heal you. What you need to do is by faith reach out, turn on your faith, and receive the healing that God has already supplied. Man, this is powerful. This changed my life. Because there was a time that I was trying to get God to do things, and that's frustrating, it's confusing, puts all of the burden and responsibility on me. There's no rest to that. And now I've gotten to a place where I just, through the Word of God, find out what God has already provided. And now I just receive. You can make the same application in the area of finances. There are people that think that when you pay your tithes, when you give offerings, that this makes God move. And so they will give $100 and it's just like, you know, they put a coin in the slot and they pull a handle and they expect God to come back with a hundredfold return on that. And they just expect God to respond to them. That is not the proper way to look at it. God has already blessed us. Ephesians 1:3, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's already commanded financial blessing. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's what I'm talking about. His grace is something that was accomplished through Jesus. It's 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor that you through His poverty might be made rich. Prosperity, financial prosperity, is a part of the atonement. And some people will take that verse and say, that's not talking about finances, that's talking about emotionally rich, rich in your relationship with God and all kinds of other things. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, every verse in those two chapters is talking about money. This, in context, is talking about Jesus died and became poor financially so that you financially might be made rich. It's a part of His atonement. And that was done through Jesus 2,000 years ago. So your giving doesn't cause God to give back unto you. God has already commanded the blessing. It's just you've got to receive it by faith. Again, going back to this illustration of a television set, faith is like your receiver. It's like your television set that takes these things that are in the unseen realm and puts it into a realm where you can see and hear and feel it. And faith is what releases all of these things of God. And so it's one thing for a person to say, oh yeah, I believe that Jesus became poor and He wants to bless me and it's God's will and God is my provider, God is my source, and God is blessing me. That's one thing to say that, but faith without works is dead. How is it that you act in faith that God is your source? Well, it's real simple. The Lord said, just take a portion of what you've got and give it back to Him. And you know what? If there wasn't a God who promised that when you give, it's going to be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, Luke 6:38. If God hadn't promised that, well, then it would be absolutely stupid to take a portion of what you've got and give it away, because that's going to diminish your resources. It's going to make you have less. But since there is a God who promised that He would bless it back to you, and if you step out in faith, then that just releases. That's like turning on this set and receiving all of these things that were already there in the unseen realm through grace. They had already been provided. And all your faith does is reach out and appropriate what God has already provided. And I could just continue to make application of this to every area of your life. God, by grace, has already provided everything. It's a done deal. And all faith does is reach out and receive what God has already provided. Praise God. I'm about out of time today, but I do encourage you to get this teaching that I've got entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And this third teaching in that series is entitled Grace, a Done Deal. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get all of these materials. And I encourage you to please call or write today and get these materials. They'd change your life. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled Grace, a Done Deal, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England next week for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was born with congenital heart disease. The doctors gave up hope on recovery for me. I was turning the TV on one night while I was up taking medication, and there was Andrew teaching on God's kind of love. And he was talking right to me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your seed may live." The Lord says that there's really only two options. There's life or death, blessing or cursing. Sometimes we think that there's all these other options, but the truth is, really, every decision you make is either moving you closer to God, which is life and blessing, or it's moving you away from God, which is towards death and cursing. And the good news is God gave you that choice.
Well, after listening to Andrew's teachings, I studied the Word night and day, and God spoke to me, and He told me all was healed, all was well, even while I felt miserable, and I just left that identity. I left that sickness, and I'm healed.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.
Basically, what he's doing is Jesus is just all up to you. If you can do something, have compassion, Father would basically say, "I'm tired."
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.